Welcome to Beyond Clicks, a podcast covering strategies to get your online presence to the next level. This is your host, Batash, and in today's episode, we'll cover the customer's love languages. Reason why this is so important is that behind every click, every search, online interaction is a deeper desire for connection, for being understood, and for being valued. So pull up your chair, grab some coffee, and let's get started. But before we go into the content itself, tell me about your weekend. How was everything going for you? I can tell you that after a very, very long time, I decided to finally shut down and take my fiance on a road trip. We went to Las Vegas and we just took time to walk around the city and enjoy a little time off together. And the coolest thing that I came across for the first time, there was the Sphere. And I don't know if you guys also haven't seen. If you haven't, please definitely go check it out. It is totally next level. And you know me, I can't just make that be a 5-second experience and let it go. So I had to go in and do research. It has immersive video and audio capabilities. The venue is has about 600,000 LED displays outside on the surface. The venue itself, the movie was long and we unfortunately didn't have the time to go in and check it out, but definitely next time I will go in there. What I've seen on YouTube, it's perfect. So if you're in Las Vegas, definitely go check it out. When you're thinking about the sheer amount of data that is being captured on those live feeds also, I think there's just a lot of impact for the world of marketing. I was also thinking about, you know, how much it costs to put an ad on Sphere. So I had to look that up too on the internet. And what I found out, it was about $450,000 to $650,000 on a, you know, given day, at least that was the number. And on Super Bowl day, 1 to 2 million. But it's in the middle of the city. All eyes on are on it. It's very humongous. It has even, it sometimes turns into this interactive emojis where gives you like different emotion, the facial expert, very cool. We got to go on a high roller and actually see that from high up, 550 feet above the ground. And let me tell you, it was beautiful. And if you're there, definitely check it out. And you would not be sorry, I can tell you that. Where you're listening or watching this video or listening to the podcast, drop a comment and let me know if you have seen Sphere. What was your experience look like? Do you think that it was impactful if we have something like this in every city or some city, some major cities or across United States? You can also hit me up on Twitter. I'm going to be sharing this video in there later on. Drop a comment for anything that you find useful within this video, or if you're listening to the podcast. The Twitter handle is Beyond the Clicks, and I'm looking forward to having some wonderful conversations with you all. And with that being said, let's get into it. Last episode, we covered social listening, which was, as you remember, or if you haven't looked, definitely check it out. We were talking about the virtual marketplace that is social media. Right now, we are going to take it one step ahead and talk about all those conversations, but also talk about what shifts in the market, which is the consumer behavior. It constantly shifts. It had a massive shift after COVID-19. It is still shifting. So understanding that helps you make clever decisions about your marketing strategy and also your content strategy. Understanding the worldview and the interests of the customer, their day-to-day experiences, is very important. I can tell you that last week or so, for the travel and also all the projects that I had around the house, I was constantly on Google. I went there, I would say, about 10, 15 times. Look for businesses, look for restaurants, hotels, places to visit, businesses related to my projects. So it is almost becoming a automatic response that every time that I'm having a problem or I'm looking for something, I immediately turn to Google or search engines to identify solutions, right? So I'm sure that that's the same way for majority of you. In fact, the data shows that 80% of the US customers go to online, so whether that's a search engine or social media, to consume content and or look for local businesses. And 99% of them look for reviews to see if the business is a viable solution. So when we are looking at 80% and 99%, those are huge numbers, right? So we are looking at huge opportunities that is going to be impactful for your business. When we're looking at businesses, when I talk to businesses, they all for some reason look for short-term W's, right? They're looking to shift and make revenues today, and some they're not looking for those reviews. Reviews are becoming almost a secondary goal, or sometimes even an obsolete. They don't even know why they need to spend time or money on that. But the numbers are saying exact opposite. Visibility and reviews make or break a business. There's a lot of stories about small businesses absolutely going down, shutting down because of negative reviews. If you're looking at same space, three businesses within the same space doing the same thing, same range of distance, who would win? A lot of positive reviews, a lot of negative reviews, or no reviews. Of course, it's the positive reviews. And Google agrees with you too. Its reviews are one of the most important factors that Google decides upon to rank a local business to a customer looking locally for relevant businesses like that. Very important for you to keep your profile accurate, really important to keep it up to date and pay attention to what the customer is telling you. Drop a comment. Let me know where you are with your business profile journey. Maybe you are a new business and you haven't really spent time building your local visibility yet. Maybe you're not focusing on reviews because you think that it's a secondary. Maybe you have trouble capturing reviews. Maybe you're focusing on testimonials, but you're not translating them into reviews. Leave me a comment. Let me know where you are at. If you have any questions, let me know so I'll be able to jump in there and guide you or answer the questions. Let's also focus on another factor within the consumer behavior when it comes to the search versus social media war. I can't really call it a war, but you know what, you guys know what I'm talking about. Who wins the battle between these groups? A lot of businesses might just focus on social media because social media is a hype. Everybody talks about social media. They neglect SEO because SEO doesn't have that tangible feeling to it, right? But I would say the most important thing is to understand your segmentation. Where is your audience hanging out the most? Where they're consuming their information? So you make sure you're there. Gen Zs, for example, majority of the information they capture, whether from news or services, restaurants, places to visit, all comes from TikTok and Instagram majority of times. 64% or majority of everyone else, they go on Google and they look for those solutions. So when you're looking at those numbers, you see the segmentation, you see how you got to deal with it. Depending on where your audiences are, you need to put majority of focuses on there. Personally, I would not neglect search because Google and YouTube has such a massive environment that if you try to neglect it for social media, I think you're just losing opportunity. But it depends on your budget. It depends on your focus. If you think that you need to put one as a priority over the other, definitely look at what makes more sense for your segment of audience. When we are trying to summarize everything that we discussed right now, there's two things that we can kind of get out of this. Number one, most important thing that we need to recognize, especially for those that ask a question, why do we even need to focus on digital marketing? The answer is very clear, and the numbers don't lie. They're telling you that the customer journey these days are deeply rooted in digital experience, and the stakes are therefore too high for your business to neglect digital marketing. Secondary thing to that is, if you're doing something that is not selling today, it doesn't mean that it is not successful. You need to be where you need to be, where your customers are, otherwise you'll become obsolete. So make sure that you don't neglect digital experiences, you don't neglect the customer's voice, and you continue heading on strong with driving a strong content strategy. These are also not just pertaining to B2C. In B2B, the questions are different, but relevancy is the same. The goal is the same. Let's say you're trying to purchase a software application for your business. How many different factors do you search for before you make that purchase? How many questions you ask? How many of those questions are related to you gaining trust? Does this business have the ability to provide what I'm looking for? Is this business have unique way of delivering what pertaining to my unique needs? And do they have the flexibility and understanding of what my pain points are? Right? And when you're looking at those information, how much of that do you rely on the PowerPoints and the proposals, and how much of that you actually go on search engines and search engines and their websites to capture those information? Drop your thoughts in Twitter or where you're looking at this video, and let's have a discussion about that. Next thing is marketing automation and personalization. Now, marketing automation is just very massive topic. Hopefully we're going to be able to cover all of that in a later video, but today we're going to just focus on personalization. Personalization is very important, and if you're looking at the marketing news these days, you're going to see that big companies like Meta, Google, Apple, Amazon, or Netflix, they all spend a lot of money and investing in big data to create a precise and massive persona profiles around their customer base, around their audiences, to be able to deliver precise content, relevant content to you as the audience. More time that you spend on their website, more advertising dollars for them. Same thing with your business. More time you get the customer to engage, more time to get the audience to engage with your website, more chances you have to turn that into a longer term relationship or acquire the business, acquire the customer. So that's huge. You finally have the chance to deliver a personalized experience to the customer using marketing automation. Even a customer, two customers that are looking to the same product, their pain points are different. Therefore, the way that you tell the story is different. The way that you're going to deliver content to these two individuals are different. So personalization comes to play to give you the ability to speak to them in a unique way. Another factor that you have to understand, and this is a big question. Let's say a user comes to your website. Almost broke my microphone. Let's say a user comes to your website and they are getting to your homepage for the first time. So new user, first time going on your homepage, they're looking for something. If you have the ability to take this user through the user journey to what they're looking for, whether that be downloading a freemium, whether that be sliding a credit card, purchasing an item, whether that be engaging in a webinar, whether that be consuming education, whatever it may be. If you can take them there within the matter of seconds, wouldn't you take that chance? Especially with the fact that convenience and fast-paced delivery has been such an important factor to acquiring customers, specifically after COVID-19. We all got used to the fact that we are, you know, sitting at our home, clicking, bam, you buy a product. Clicking, bam, you buy pizza. groceries, Grubhub, Netflix, consuming information in a digital space. All that drives convenience as a number one factor. And let me tell you this, especially with Gen Zs, they want and they got used to this level of quickness because they are constantly engaging on a channel that delivers fast-paced content, relevant content, and in a short form. So you need to have the ability to speak to your customers the same way. Take them to where they need to be as fast and quick as possible. The minute that you try to complicate things, the minute that you have to have 100,000 different options to, you know, make sure that you cover all grounds, that's where you're going to lose because customer just doesn't have, you're not aligned with the way that the customer is consuming content now. So you need to pay attention to convenience, fast delivery, precise delivery, and that precision, timeliness comes to play utilizing automation. All right, we covered consumer behavior changes, some of them happening in 2024. And now it's time for us to take a deep dive into heart of our discussion today, which was consumers' love language and how to produce content that really clicks using the information. So really think about aligning what we talked about, right? Customer love language along with understanding the shift in behavior because that involves empathy, right? So you want to align these two together, join them to have a cohesive, well-rounded content strategy. Before we also talk, I keep on talking about digital empathy. I talk about social listening. I refer to the previous episode. If I do so, please check it out. I'm dropping a link into the description so you have the chance if you want to just click on it and go and watch it because you really can think of that episode as a prequel to this episode. They're all connected with each other and they all help to strive for that cohesiveness when it comes to your content and customer experience. The concept of love language itself isn't new. It covers factors of how we express affection and receive affection from others. Now, in our world of pixels and clouds, empathy is added sixth language to this entire thing. I'm not going to talk about digital empathy today. We covered that for 45 minutes or so in social listening. So I don't want to just brush that off and take it for in a 5-minute spin. I want you to just make sure you guys have the ability to go and listen to the entire episode. If you have any questions about that, you can drop it in the same comments as this video. And I will be sure to answer your comments about that as well. How many of you know what the different love languages are? Have you heard anything about them in the past? It's really about understanding and have the ability to provide emotional support. As I said, how we express affection and how we receive affection. When we are looking at all of that, in terms of our customer base, our audience, then we quickly realize that product descriptions are too dry and too broad to be able to provide that level of sufficient understanding to the customer. Another thing is when you say, you know, well, I know my customers without actually knowing your customer. You know, maybe you have this persistent because you've been in a business for a long time. You already established long-term relationship with your customers. But do you know or actively try to be proactive about how you capture new information about your audience, how their behavior is shifting, how they're going to behavior of purchasing from you has shifted, their expectations, their interests, their values? Those all change. And so you need to have the ability to audit yourself, listen to them, and capture that information, learn from them, and implement that in your strategy in the future. This is really a wake-up call for traditional marketers, businesses that don't value that constant engagement. And I'm not saying that traditional marketers don't value customers. What I'm trying to imply is that there was lack of ability to capture certain analytics, certain data in the past in the arena of traditional marketing. That's available, and as I said in the past episode, at the palm of our hands. So all we need to do is to just reach out and grab it, right? We need to assess the data and listen to our customers and be able to show them unique values based on their unique needs. Let's step away from marketing for a second and let's use dating as an example. Let's say that you are going on a first date and for whatever reason, you decide, hey, today is the day that I'm going to gift this person. I'm going to buy a gift and I'm going to give a gift to this person. You have a choice to either guess, do the guessing game, or you just have like this general idea of what they might like, and based on that you go and purchase something. It might actually work, the person is going to appreciate it, but ultimately that strategy can't go on for a long time. Eventually the expectation is for you to really actively listen and understand the person to be able to appreciate them the way that they need to be appreciated, right? So same with businesses, same with your company, with your customers. We cannot persist to go on for a while not knowing our customers, not taking time to understand our customers or proactively listen to them, right? Customers want to feel valued, and not just as buyers that slide their credit card, but also as a valued member of our brand and our community. Therefore, community management becomes very important here, because it provides that first love language, word of affirmation, to acknowledge and show the customers that they matter. How many different comments we get or stories we hear of companies that don't listen to their customers? Maybe they have a new product that they're releasing. The product gets released. Everybody's excited about it. And they see that, and the customers go in and they see the lack. And they drop a comment. They engage on their social media channels and say, hey, there is a clear gap between my needs and what you're providing to me. Here are my pain points. Here's how you're lacking. Here's how we wish this could have improved in the future. Companies that don't listen to those information usually start seeing their revenues decline, versus there are companies that are actively taking into account what the customers are wanting, what is the that analyze opportunities that derive from the customers' comments about whether that's a product or a business. They try to have a continuous improvement measures based on customers' wants and needs. So most important information is readily at the palm of your hand, and you just have to reach out and grab it. Simple acknowledgement sometimes goes a long way. Even I see smaller companies where they take it a step further and even handwrite a personalized message, which always is a great thing to do. I personally really appreciate it when I see something like that from the customer service agent, or when I see that from a person that handled my case or delivered my product. Always appreciated to know that the customer, the company, took that time to really care for me and matter, essentially. The companies that use customers as brand ambassadors, listening to them proactively, but also giving them the ability to tell stories on their behalf, those companies get massively successful because They allow and trust their customers to tell great stories, and customers are voluntarily telling those stories because they trust in their businesses. I consume my news about marketing from multiple, like few different newsletters, that, and I trust each one of them for a certain niche. But I know 100% of the time that when I want content with that niche, these are the individuals that are not trying to clickbait, they're not trying to just waste my time, and therefore I engage with them. And so that's exactly that, making sure that we go above and beyond to provide that level of acknowledgement. What do you think about the second love language, quality time? How would that fit into digital marketing? Drop in the comments and let me know. One way would be user experience and relevancy of content, right? User experience, so when we are talking about quality time, if somebody's coming, again, as I was talking, even when I was delivering the words of affirmation, if somebody's on your website, in your ecosystem, taking time out of their way, because, some is outreach outbound, some are inbound, right? If they're on social media and they are looking for cat videos, fun videos, game streams, or anything like that, and your ad comes along and it doesn't provide any value, it creates a burnout and the customer stops engaging with you. It is only through quality time, which is providing excellent user experience and also relevancy of content, that you can thrive. And both user experience and relevancy was even discussed when I was talking about automation and personalization, right? Relevancy and user experience, very important factors. What about act of service? You might think something monetary, or you might say, well, delivering excellent customer service or excellent product. I see that as your responsibility as a company, taking it one step further, providing valuable insight and information is more massive. And making sure that, as I said when I was talking about clickbait, making sure that if they're entering your ecosystem, that they're there for a reason, you know their pain points and you're speaking to their pain points, is massive. Over and over, just trying to provide insightful information that shifts their mindset in a positive way, having positive impact, or provoke them to think deeply about a new thing is huge. Sometimes I go on the internet, or let's say I'm on social media and I'm trying to look for certain, let's say, game streams, right? I'm just enjoying myself. I'm watching some game streams. And all of a sudden, I get hit by an ad. And majority of times, I recognize that when I can gain a positive impact out of those ads, I appreciate them more and voluntarily engage with that company more than when I just see a mediocre ad that is there to sell me on a new product. Again, at that moment in time, the audience might not be ready to engage with your customer, engage with your ad. So if you're there taking time out of their day, make sure that you're providing something back. And then that turns into a voluntary, long-lasting relationship rather than, one time, slide the credit card, and I shall never see you again, right? You want to make sure that they are voluntarily following you, subscribing, or speaking of which, if you find a value in this podcast, whether this is the episode, the article, the podcast, the Beyond Clicks in general, my newsletter on LinkedIn, please do me a favor and subscribe and hit that like button. As I said, my number one goal is to deliver good information to you. I don't hold anything back. I don't try to use clickbait. And really, I want to create a positive community where we all learn from each other, and also we have the ability to grow our businesses, grow ourselves professionally within the digital arena. So hit that like and subscribe button. If you think that this can be improved in any way, please leave a comment and let me know. At the end of the day, as I said, I want to improve and I want to make sure that I improve the way that matches your needs and provide the information that you want. Gifts, you know, don't think about physical gifts, discount codes, Grubhub subscription. Gifts can be just through intrinsic means, loyalty programs, even remembering them on a special occasion, like such as their birthday, is very important. Empathy, as I said, very important, but we are not going to talk about empathy today because I spent 45 minutes breaking down empathy in the previous episode, and I want to make sure that you immerse yourself in that information. But if you have any questions about it, definitely hit me up on where you're listening to the podcast or consuming this video, and I'm more than happy to, engage with your questions. The question then is, how can we craft the content that converts, or how did I originally put it, a content that clicks? One of the ways is by ensuring that we insert, as I said, we want to gather these two factors, even social listening, and make sure that I'm constantly punching this microphone, bringing everything together and make sure that there is a cohesive content strategy that really speaks. There is the narrow gap between what you're delivering and what the customer wants. FOMO is not really, FOMO is a manipulation. And when you manipulate the customer's emotions, they're there for a very short period of time. So it's very important to stay positive, provide positive impact, inspire the customers rather than scaring them. Fear doesn't work. Inspiration always works. So make sure you inspire and you don't fear, threaten, or hold them hostage until they buy something. So what has been a takeaway? Think about your company, what steps you're going to take to succeed in digital empathy, and how can you apply love languages to your digital marketing and create an authentic brand for yourself. And as you step forward into the world of digital marketing and digital tomorrow, keep asking pivotal questions. Audit yourself. How does your content speak to the customers? Do you think that you're finally getting fluent in customers' love languages? And how further or narrower can you take this to so that the empathy helps you narrow the gap between your delivery and their needs? And so that time comes to close another chapter together, with the hope that some or all of what we talked about today has been positive for you. And it has truly been awesome and positive for me as your host. Until next time, keep aiming to understand your customers and inspire them through your content. Make every click a connection, every engagement an experience, and every interaction a story worth telling. And until next time, my friends, Batash